Hygiene and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
So do you suffer from hot flashes, but you just don't want to take hormones? Now, I already did a whole show on why I think you should consider hormones, but we're gonna push that topic aside. And I just want to go ahead and accept the fact that there are some people who don't want to do hormones, and that's fine. So what are your options? So my guest is Michael Jeffers, and he's going to discuss alternative therapies to hot flashes. Michael, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Dr. Mike, it's great to talk to you again.
Yeah, I've known Michael for a couple of years. We go to some of the conferences together in the industry, and we've talked about some of the awesome stuff that he's doing, his company is doing for, this topic of hot flashes. Michael, let's talk a little bit first about what causes hot flashes, because there's a lot of women actually ask me that, and so have we figured out what's really the cause here?
Well, in general, and I'm going to keep this very general because I defer the specifics to you, of course, with your expertise, but hot flashes start to occur in women as their hormone levels shift, or they start to show less and less indications of, for a better word, the production of estrone and estradiol, which are the two primary hormones that sort of drive not having hot flashes.
Right, and so when you go back to that statement about losing the hormones, so as a woman goes from, 30 to 40, they hit that perimenopausal phase, we start to drop the hormones. But I guess the question is, or maybe we don't know this, why is it the loss of estrone and estradiol? What's happening in the vasculature and the skin? Do we know the connection there?
Well, there's details for specifics about that. And you know what, I'm not 100% clear exactly what those details are, because there's so many different variations of the story. But most of the folks that I talk to and discuss on radio shows or lectures, we just really just try to simplify it in the regard that with the pending progression of menopause, hot flashes are inclusive to those symptoms.
Right.
And menopause, of course, is driven by the decline of certain hormones within women.
Yeah, so a really good friend of mine, Michael, who's really an expert endocrinologist, has worked for Life Extension off and on, and he said when women lose estrogen, it causes vascular instability. So I asked, well, what's vascular instability? And he says, well, I don't know. That's just what we write in the literature. So no, I guess no one's quite sure what's going on, but there seems to be a connection with the loss of the estrogens, some sort of vascular instability, bringing some circulation to the skin, and then you can start getting these hot flashes. So what are the conventional treatments? What do most women do?
Well, of course, the biggest debate is when women do take synthetic hormones. And what we've noticed is that, and this is kind of an interesting statistic, but that 13% of the population in the United States are women in menopause. And so that's about 44 to 45 million women right now in the United States are experiencing some symptoms of menopause. And only 5% of that population is taking something for menopause. About 10 to 11 years ago, before the famous WHI study that occurred with women on HRTs, is that probably the majority of those women were taking hormones. And whereas now, that percentage of women that are taking something, a very, very small percentage of that are women taking synthetic hormones. So now what they've done is that shifted, and that shifted significantly towards a variety of choices in the botanical genre. And so you have things like black cohosh, you have things like soy isoflavone extracts, you have red clover extract. So we've seen a bunch of different things that are out there. And the problem for us was that in the beginning, when we start looking at this, we kept finding different published studies which indicated that those nutritional choices that have become very, very popular sort of had some negative studies that were in the public domain and were published.
Okay.
And so our thinking was, well, there's things out there that at the time looked like great choices, but maybe they weren't the best choice. And that's sort of when we went to work on our version of the next best or next generation sort of nutritional ingredient to treat those symptoms.
So let's, going back to some of the common supplements out there that some women are trying, like the soy, the black cohosh, for instance, guy that's been around for decades. And just to give you my own experience with that, you know, either the women love it or it does absolutely nothing for them. That's been my experience with it. And more it seems more women are falling into that it does nothing for me category. So some of those traditional ones, although they may help a small percent, most women are still dealing with a lot of these what we might call breakthrough symptoms. They might get a little bit of relief, but it's definitely not helping all that much. You have an interesting formula, and there's an interesting story how this formula got developed. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the history of how this formula came to be?
Well, when we started this project, Dr. Mike, it was our notion that what was in the public domain had been stretched pretty far, which means nutritionals or botanicals that were originating out of China, Japan, even the U.S. to a certain extent. And so we went to work and we started doing what we call cultural evaluations of a tremendous number of botanicals that were referenced in historical text in South Korea. So we went to work on this with our database, and we looked at probably in excess of 250 plants where we would try to find some sort of a reference to a descriptive of a plant that we thought might have indications for menopause. So, for example, in one of the texts that we pulled up, it said, and translated into English, it said that the woman had a raging ball of fire. And so in our assessment, that could have been a couple different things. It could have been a migraine headache. It could have been inflammation on the skin. But we sort of thought, okay, that's a good descriptive that might address hot flashes for menopause 300 years ago. So we went through this, and we looked at 71 different final compounds, and we narrowed it down to three botanical extracts that originate from South Korea. And so we started the process.
Let me summarize this, Mike, because this is important. So you started with looking at over 200, right? And you went way back into history trying to identify what sounded like hot flashes, right? And from there, you got it down to about 70, and then from there, you got it down to about three that seemed to have the best effect. Is that the gist of the story?
Yeah, pretty much. It took several years, but that's what we got to, right?
Well, it sounds like it would take, so there's a lot of work there. Right? What are the three, the key botanicals that you discovered then out of all that 200 plus when you started?
Well, what we did is we narrowed it down to the three, and that included three extracts that were based on plants that are endemic to South Korea. So that one was Phlomis umbrosa, the second one was called Sinantium wilfredi, and then the third one, which is probably the most recognizable, it's called Angelica gigas nakai, which is sort of it's hybridized to South Korea, but it's related to Dunhuang.
Okay, so Michael, we got those three ingredients. I want to make sure that because we're running out of time here. Can you give us, because I know you have a really nice website that describes kind of all this about the formula. Can you give us the website where the listeners could go and learn a little bit more about dealing with hot flashes?
Sure. Probably what we did is we derived a website that takes the women to comparative nutritionals that are in the market, and which includes ours, of course, but it's all the others, and that's safemenopause.com. So www.safemenopause.com.
All right, safemenopause.com. Yeah, so go check that out, listeners, if you want to learn more about this formula. Dr. Michael, thank you for coming on. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.